excuse me. What we see in 2028 is a bill that in its original form dealt with several different issues that we want to delete from the bill and have three separate bills. Chris, you want to explain this?
You may recall that we heard this bill once, heard hearings in the end of January. This is the bill from the Department of Commerce that the initial part of it speaks to civil penalties for a variety of boards. There was also language about water slides and language about defining amusement devices. The committee at that point instructed that two additional bills be drafted, which has been done, one dealing with amusement devices, one dealing with water slides. We also have amendments deleting that language from this bill, therefore leaving that bill, if you did that, strictly civil penalties. I believe you all received hand-engrossed copies yesterday afternoon in your offices. If you didn't, I have extras. And that's where we are.
Sure, okay. Yeah, right. The committee will note that on line 2, page 1 of the original bill, they deleted several ORSs as well as in line 3.
Those, if I may, Mr. Chair, Those ORSs specifically speak to the amusement ride section.
Page 2, deleted all of section 4.
That is the new language concerning water slides.
On page 3, on line 1, they further want to delete several ORSs. A minor change on line 2, to take it from section 7 to section 4. Mm-hmm. Section 8 would become section 5. Section 9 would become section 6. And on page 3, they delete section 10 entirely.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I'm a little confused. We were on page 2, section 4. It looks to me like section 5 begins water slides. Section 4 looks like it's still talking about civil penalties.
Section 4, page 2?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yes, section 5 is, in fact, you're correct, water slides. Section 4 has to do with the statutes relating to amusement rides.
Oh, okay, so it is excluded.
Right,
all
it
right.
is excluded
Thank you.
As well.
Okay, deletion of section 10 and 11 and making section 12 section 7. We're in work session on this bill at this time before we go into hearing because I want to clean the bill up so that the bill will reflect only the civil penalties. May I have a motion to...
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that we amend the bill as described.
Representative Jones moves that we amend the bill, amending out amusement devices and water slides, which would leave civil penalties. Any objections? If there's no objections, it stands amended. All right, now we have House Bill 2028 that will deal with civil penalties. Phil Peach. We are now in work session, hearing.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm Phil Peach. I represent today the Oregon Mobile Home Park Association. Oregon Mobile Home Park Association is opposed to House Bill 2028, specifically Section 1 dealing with mobile home parks. This section, requested by the Department of Commerce, would give the Mobile Home Construction and Safety Standard Advisory Board authority to impose civil penalties on mobile home parks up to $1,000. The power of civil penalties for violations of the sections cited in this bill already lie with the director of the Department of Commerce. We support leaving it as is. To our knowledge, the current arrangement has worked well. There is no reason to give the Mobile Home Construction and Safety Standard Advisory Board this additional power and authority over mobile home parks. The board's original statutory purpose, according to ORS 446.280, was, quote, to serve in an advisory capacity to the director in promulgating, administering, and enforcing the plan for the administration and enforcement of the National Mobile Home Construction and Safety Standards Act of 1974. In other words, the board is supposed to be involved primarily in the construction standards of mobile homes, not mobile home parks. The makeup of the board proves this. And let me just read that briefly out of the statutes. The board consists of 9 members, one representing each of the following: selling, leasing, and distributing of mobile homes, manufacturing, selling, and leasing of recreational vehicles, a representative involved in the manufacturing or assembling of new mobile homes, a person involved in the manufacturing, assembling, or selling of mobile home accessories, a consumer representative, a tenant, a person involved in structural engineering, a local government official, and a deputy or assistant to the state fire marshal. Mobile home parks are not even represented on this board. Now, there used to be a separate mobile home park construction and safety advisory board under the Department of Commerce. That board was dismantled in 1981, along with the annual license and fee charged by the Department of Commerce. They were repealed in 81 as being unnecessary. Another reason we support leaving the current civil penalty provisions unchanged is penalties over $100 have to go through small claims court. It's not uncommon to involve the courts in matters like this. That's what they're for. We see no reason to eliminate the court process and at the same time turn over the penalty authority to a board which has little to do with the day-to-day operation of mobile home parks and no representation by the same. Please keep in mind that these penalty provisions are already in place for the Director of Commerce and, although rarely used, have worked well as they are. We would ask that Section 1 of the bill be deleted. Thank you.
Thank you, Carl.
Questions? I'm happy to answer questions.
Questions of Mr. Peach? Let me ask questions. You're saying that the Commerce Commission already controls mobile home parks?
That's correct.
Do they have the same civil penalty authority that this bill is asking this mobile home construction board?
That's correct. Word for word, the exact sections addressed in this bill, civil penalties and the same amount and provisions and sections are already provided for the director of the department.
This bill is at the request of the Department of Commerce?
Correct.
Representative Miller.
Section 1 is your only problem.
That's correct. We would ask that that be deleted. Section 8, of course, would also have to be deleted. That section simply amends the only addition to Section 8 is the addition of Section 1, right, should it pass. So Sections 1 and the amendment called for in Section 8 or the whole section would have to be deleted.
And the other question, if I might, Mr. Chair?
Please.
Is, to your knowledge, your testimony here, to your knowledge, the current arrangement has worked well, given that this bill was requested by the Department of Commerce. Have you inquired with them as to why they would propose Section 1?
No, I have not.
All right. Thank you.
Other questions? Thank you. Mr. Peach was the only one signed up on House Bill 2028. That's what I'm about to ask. Joe, you're from the Department of Commerce. Would you like to come up and maybe you can answer? I'm glad someone from the department's here to answer the question. Why did you want this bill?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Joe Alexa, Deputy Minister of the Building Code Division, Department of Commerce. The reason we asked for this bill is because we are attempting to make uniform across the various sections in the Building Codes Division standard civil penalty procedures. What we have now in our 9 different sections and boards are a conglomeration of civil penalty type actions which vary depending on when they were adopted. For example, the civil penalty procedures that we now have for mobile home parks, what we're trying to change would require us to go into small claims court to try to enforce a civil penalty. And administratively, this is very difficult to go to the various small claims court in the various counties throughout the state, and so in effect we never use it. We don't have civil penalty authority now. And it varies in other places. We have to work with the local district attorney if it requires us to, say, file as a misdemeanor. There are a variety of civil penalty actions available depending on when the enabling legislation was adopted. More recent enabling legislation that deals with civil penalty has streamlined this process considerably. And that's what we're asking for now, in not only in the mobile home park section, or the mobile home construction section, but in the other sections as well.
My problem, straight up, I take Mr. Peach's comments well when he describes the board, and none of the other people are even on the board. It's people from other places, and you want to switch this over from where it's at now and put it in the hands. Are you given dual responsibilities? Are you going to have two separate organizations here dealing with mobile park homes or mobile home parks? Or are you going to switch it from where it's at now over to the Mobile Home Construction Safety Standard Advisory Board?
No, Mr. Chairman, if you'll notice, there's another section in here that deals with mobile home parks, as well as the old Section 8 on page 3, which is now Section 5 in your Hand and Ghost bill, would provide the same civil penalty authority to mobile home parks as to the mobile home construction section.
Representative Jones.
Let me back up just a minute. Are you experiencing a problem with mobile home parks? Have you been during this last year? What has created the need for this?
Representative Jones, I can't point to any particular problem. It's just that we don't have enforcement authority, or the enforcement authority we have now we feel is not usable. The manager of the mobile home parks section has generally tried to work with people to resolve problems that may came up, but we simply haven't been able to. It's as if we don't have any civil penalty authority. So we don't have that tool to deal with certain situations.
But I guess to follow, if I may, Mr. Chairman, have you had occasion when you needed to use it and could not?
There have been occasions when we could have used some sort of authority to aid in our negotiations.
Would you be willing then to include them on your board?
I would have no problems with that. The mobile home manager is not here to speak for the board, but I would not see any difficulty there.
Representative Bunn and then McCarty.
Presently, you say you don't have the tool to use if you run into a problem in dealing with a mobile home park. You can't go to small claims court. Isn't it more that that's a inconvenient process?
Well, Representative Bunn, it's not only inconvenient, but if you look at the statute, there are some ambiguities there as to what that procedure is. And to my knowledge, we've never tried it, or we've maybe tried it once and found it didn't work.
Let me ask a question further then. If we cleaned it up so there were no ambiguities and you could clearly go to small claims court like any other citizen of Oregon, wouldn't that give all parties a more impartial judge as opposed to someone in your agency making the final decision who might be perceived as having a bias, perhaps?
Representative Bunn, I think that perception perhaps might be there. We try to avoid that. We try to avoid having hearings officers that have anything to do with the particular case. In some cases, we use people. I myself act as hearings officer in some cases. In other cases, we go outside to get a private attorney, for example, to act as a hearings officer.
Just one further question.
Yes, please.
I always had a problem understanding how we say to the vast majority of people, businesses, citizens, you've got to go through a court process. But if a group has a strong enough leverage, they can bypass that process. Why shouldn't your process go through the court system just like everyone else's?
Now, Representative Bond, one of the problems we have, for example, that not in this particular statute, because it does allow us to go to small claims, but some of our other statutory sections require that we file in district court through the district attorney. And in most cases where this has been attempted, we find the district attorney treats our concerns slightly lower than a jaywalking offense. So it doesn't happen. It ends up in the bottom of the pile.
That could be changed very easily. Thank you.
Representative McCarty.
Representative Bunner has more than pointed out my concern about your agencies using the same means as Ron McCarty, citizen. Now, could it be is the only reason why you want to get rid of this is because you want to fix it so that these people cannot appeal any of your decisions by forcing them to go to the Court of Appeals, which for less than $1,000, nobody can afford to waste their time on that. Is there any other appeal besides going to the Court of Appeals? I want you to know I find this offensive.
Well, I'm sorry, Representative McCarthy, you find this offensive, but under Chapter 183, the Court of Appeals is the designated appeal branch for home administrative hearing. Now, some sections have inserted, or some divisions, for example, our electrical board gives the party an option of going to the Court of Appeals or going to the circuit court of his county. I understand the Judiciary Committee has a bill in now that would change that. But these are procedures that have been established across the board for all state agencies. And
Do you believe that an ordinary reasonable man for less than $1,000 could go to the court, could afford to go to the Court of Appeals to prove he's right? Just yes or no?
Yes, I do, Representative McCarthy. A number of them have done that already.
Have you ever tried it?
Personally, no, I haven't.
You say a number of them have done it?
We have one right now that is in the Court of Appeals on a civil penalty of $200.
Somebody's got a lot of character, and I sure hope they won. Because it's worth more than two. Even to hire a lawyer, you couldn't get a lawyer for less than $2,000 to do that. God bless that person.
Representative Joel.
Yes, I'd like to ask, maybe following with some of the, in the line of some of the questioning, I guess I'm trying to figure out, in all sincerity, who would most benefit from this legislation? Would that be the Department of Commerce? I think the obvious, not necessarily the mobile home owners, would the residents in the mobile home park, for an example, benefit in some way? Who, in fact, would be the benefactor of this legislation?
Representative Jolin, I believe in the case of the you've picked one specific section here, mobile home parks. This also goes to the Structural Codes Advisory Board, which is all of your building officials throughout the state. But I think in answer to your question, you could say that there could be circumstances where the residents of a mobile home park would benefit if, for example, the owner of the mobile home park was doing something that violated the code, would not respond to the state inspector's pleas to correct whatever the action was. This would enable the Building Codes Division to bring an action that would, in a sense, compel him to make those corrections. And there are situations, for example, the one that's been related to me, where the mobile home park owner, and I'm not saying this is a violation necessarily, that would be a civil penalty action, where he wasn't turning his lights on, the street lights, and he had construction going on. There were trenches in the streets. A number of park residents complained to the mobile home section that could we do something about this. And essentially, we had to do it through a negotiation, and it took months to get some corrective action done because we didn't feel we had much of a leg to stand on to try to take this thing to small claims court, and we didn't really have any leverage other than that to get the person to comply. So I could think of a number of examples where residents of mobile home parks would benefit if we were able to bring about compliance faster.
It seems to me, I guess I'm a little confused here. It seems to me that you have the authority to act currently. And I guess, again, following some of the other questions and comments, it seems like an effort is being made here with House Bill 2028 to, you might say, tip the tables to favor the Department of Commerce. And I'm not certain that that's the appropriate road to take.
Let me ask you a question. And the bill, the way we've amended out the sections in page one, section one, sub two, if I read that correctly, it would allow the board to become a court of law. You're speaking of a judgment being paid within 10 days. If not, this is... it would automatically go in favor of the board. Execution may be issued upon the order in the same manner as an execution upon a judgment of a court of record. And what I read into that is we're saying, well, we're going to make you a court of law. Am I reading that incorrectly?
I wouldn't say it's incorrectly, Mr. Chairman, but I 2 points. For one thing, this would establish a more clear administrative process that would give the board the appeal rights. Basically, a contested case hearing would be heard before a hearings officer who makes his findings and recommendations, and then the party can appeal those findings to the mobile home board, where they can overrule the hearings officer or make whatever changes. From there, the person, if he so desired, could go on to the Court of Appeals. So this would give the mobile home construction safety advisory board the same process rights that the electrical board or the plumbing board has. Now, that particular section 2 is really the main addition here that we're putting in, and this is the same thing that's being done by another bill from the Judiciary Committee that's making that a standard action for all state agencies.
I feel a bit uncomfortable, and I realize what you're trying to do, and I have sympathy for the fact that the commissioner, the director of the Department of Commerce is trying to streamline the whole department. I just want to make certain that if the legislature is going to do something to help the Department of Commerce, it doesn't do something to hurt the other side.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, please.
Yes.
The committee seems to have focused on the mobile home section, but in my own opinion, it's Section 3, which is really the heart of this bill, would make the biggest difference to our operations. And Section 3 deals with the Structural Code Advisory Board, which is the board that oversees the general building code. And these are the statutes by which all building officials throughout the state are controlled by, and this is perhaps where we really need some clarified authority the most, because the building code was adopted in 1973, and there it does require us to go into district court to enforce any corrective measures that are required, and we haven't done that for a variety of reasons. I said we get varying degrees of cooperation with the district attorney. It's a very expensive process if we have to go all over the state and be represented by a member of the Attorney General's office. We pay $50 an hour from the time they leave the office until they come back. So in effect, we don't have any enforcement mechanism in the structural code section. And I would ask you, the committee, if you were to delete the rest of the bill, that is one we could really use.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Bunn.
Why do you, in small claims court, why do you have to have an attorney from the Attorney General's staff representing you?
Can't.
Representative Bunn, I'm speaking in this particular case to the statutes under 456.
Are these for greater than $1,000 penalties then?
This would be for, Representative Bunn, any penalty. I'll check that. The only authority we have is to take it into district court where a judge is directed to levy a fine of $100 a day. And the one time this was tried, after a trial of some length, the judge at that point said, at this point, we will implement the $100 a day fine. So it cost a great deal of money for the agency to go that route, and it did not get effective resolution of it.
Madam Chairperson.
Go ahead.
As I read this section, though, it's talking now, regardless of whatever your statute is currently, about $1,000 for each offense. And as I recall the small claims court statute, it would allow you to go in without an assistant attorney general. So that you don't need that $50 an hour help, but in fact could have any person you felt was competent to present that view. Second thing, Madam Chairperson, I would just express a desire to have our staff have drafted amendments, if it can be done, that would bypass the need to go to the district attorney. And it would be my intent, if this bill is going to pass, to hope that we continue the small claims process, but make it easier for the Department of Commerce.
To use that avenue,
right.
Make it easier, and consistent?
Well, consistent in the sense that they could all go to the small claims court.
That's what I'm saying.
Right. And my preference is that the mobile home people stay just like they are, except that they can go to small claims court also.
Currently, Joe, the small claims court is your avenue in the mobile home area. Is that correct?
That's right, Representative
Jones.
Okay,
so no change of the statute would be necessary to have them involved with the small claims process. In other words, that would not need statutory change.
That's right.
Is that correct? Did you understand what Representative Dunn was asking for? Mm-hmm. Any other questions of Joe?
Yes.
Yes, Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to be clear that I understand now, this we're talking about not changing the penalties for the Mobile Home Construction and Safety Board, but we are for the State Plumbing Board. Is that right? If we indeed choose to leave out Section 1 or to eliminate Section 1.
Madam Chair, Representative Peterson, this bill covers a number of different sections.
Yeah.
Section 1 deals with mobile homes.
Right.
2 is the plumbing board. 3 is our structural code board. I think after the amendments, there is only one left elevator board.
So we would be gaining some consistency in terms of those other boards, and that is something that pleases you, as I understand.
As I said, Representative Peterson, that Section 3 is the one that I think that we're most in need of, because we simply don't have an effective enforcement mechanism for our structural code. And we probably have more problems there than all the rest of these combined.
Okay, so is there a possibility of amending this bill enough where we're dealing just with Section 3? I mean, I'm trying to get a sense of how strongly you feel about the plumbing board and the...
Representative Peterson, as I said, the only thing that's changing in the plumbing board is the Section 2 there on page 1, this docketing of the judgment lien. And my understanding, that particular phraseology is contained in a judiciary bill that would make it uniform for all state agencies, so we wouldn't lose anything if we took that out.
Okay, thank you.
Representative McCarty, did you have another question?
At the present time, you don't have to go to the small claims court at any time. You could always go right into the district court. Is that not true?
Are you referring, Representative McCarty, to all these sections?
Just about.
It differs where we can go with the thing.
There is no mandatory sentence or anything else that you have to go into small claims court, is there?
No, only in a mobile home. That's the only section where we go to small claims court.
Must go to small claims court?
That's right. It's I don't have it in front of me. It requires us to go. Well, it's a funny statute, because when you read it, it sets $1 million limitation on the amount of fines that can be set, and then it tells us to go into small claims court, which has, I believe, an $800 maximum.
$1,800,
isn't it? This is 446-270. And the wording is enforcement of civil penalty under subsection 1 in excess of $100 shall be brought in small claims court. If the claim exceeds the jurisdiction of the small claims court, the action may be brought in any court of appropriate jurisdiction in that city or county. And again, here we run it. If we have to go into district court, then we have to be represented by the AG, and we simply don't send the AG out of Marion County for cost reasons. But again, this is the only section where we have required you in the small claims court.
The local district attorneys won't handle it?
I won't say they won't handle it up in McCarty, but they don't give it very high priority. So once we file one of these things, we rarely hear of it again.
In other words, they've got just about as much respect for you as I do then.
I'm sorry about that, Representative McCarty, but it's not a question of respect. It's a question of priorities that the local district attorney has. And most district attorneys do not find these administrative civil actions to be very high value compared to their other work. I don't think it's a question of whether they respect the action or not.
Thank you. Any further questions? Joe, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
Any further testimony on this bill? If not, we'll close the hearing on House Bill 2028. What's our next bill?
2014. HB 2410 is the bill dealing with county fairs and county fair boards and the fund that we started hearing on Monday. I believe we have some more people that would like to testify.
Okay.